Hey everyone, welcome to In Focus Videocast with Adam Goldberg Photography and Joseph Roybal Photography. I'm Adam.
Hey guys, I'm Joe. Joseph, how's it going?
Yeah, we hope you all are doing well. We have a pretty good episode, I think, today that people talk about a lot. So we're going to be talking about pricing and how to price yourself. Joe and I are going to have, I think, a fairly frank conversation about some of our pricing and kind of some different ways to think about how to price yourself, because I think pricing is like a big thing that people in the photography industry talk about all the time, and you and I text and talk and call about a lot to each other about, like, hey, what do you think about this for pricing and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's something that we talk about all the time. Like, you know, you said between us or ourselves, and then also, you know, I talk to other friends about it all the time. You know, I had just like, and I think what kind of sparked this kind of conversation or this topic today was, you know, Adam, you know, you had reached out, or we always do, but then I had a guy reach out to me here, a kid from college, and he asked, like, hey, how do you kind of price yourself as a landscape photographer? So it just kind of was like the impetus for this to kind of come about today. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah. So you do landscape photography. So you do prints and workshops, and I do architecture and real estate stuff. So those are the two genres I think we're going to focus on here, but hoping that a lot of what we talk about here can apply to other, you know, specific niches of photography as well.
Totally. And then they're also, you know, these are a little bit of, you know, how I, and like, I know Adam, you're going to talk a little bit about yours, but these are how I have approached my pricing structure and some of the things that I do. And it's always evolving, you know, it's always a process. And so keeping that in mind, even when, you know, the listeners here and watchers, and when you're kind of going about yours, you know, it's just kind of, you know, these are some of the things that we've thought of and are currently doing. So, you know, taking it and making it your own, but also just trying to giving a little bit of that, you know, bumper bowling, if you will, kind of just kind of get you down the path and start you off.
Yeah. And I'll go first if you're okay with that. But before I do, one thing I want to say too is that everybody's situation is going to be different. You know, how well your name is known within your market, what kind of market you are in, whether you're in a small town, large town, big city, you know, supply, demand. There's so many different factors that go into how you can price yourself, that it's just, you know, what we're saying here is kind of how we go about it. And hopefully, again, it gives you some tools to go ahead and make some informed decisions around pricing your own photography, being able to use kind of ours as maybe a baseline.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, these are things that are all large determining factors in yours and mine, you know, here in Denver, because it all varies, you know, and how saturated the market is.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, go for it.
Go ahead. All right. So you and I are both licensed drone pilots. So I'm actually going to start there. So we both have our FAA Part 107 license, which means that we can fly our drones commercially. Essentially, that means we can charge money to fly our drone, which is pretty cool. Get paid to fly a drone. For that work, whether it's video, whether it's photography for architecture, my rate is $250 an hour with a minimum of 2 hours. And that usually, depending on the situation, gets anywhere between about 3 to 4 flights worth of drone work for that work. I know there's a lot of people out there who, on the drone side, you know, they do work for third party companies and they're making 50, 75 bucks a shoot. I feel that there's just so much value that we have as a licensed drone photographer that I rarely, when I'm doing, again, video or architecture photography, go much less than that.
That's good to know, because there are those companies out there that like the real estate companies. What's the one that we've talked about in the past that I hadn't heard of until someone had mentioned it to me? And then I asked you about it and you're like, oh yeah, yeah, the vacuum, the life suck or something. What's that?
Yeah. You know, and people also, they go on, there's Thumbtack and stuff like that, where people go on Thumbtack and be like, I want a drone photographer for this. And it's like, you know, it's the lowest common denominator. I think that's something that for all of the photography that we're going to talk about, you know, there's value in what you do, whether you're a licensed drone photographer or you're doing on ground photography, doing whatever, you have a skill, like you should be able to charge for that. And so if we're just continuing to chase the lowest common denominator to get your foot in the door, that's not necessarily the best way from a long-term perspective to have a successful business.
Correct. Yeah. And yeah, because I mean, to be honest, the initial, you know, getting your drone license, your 107, isn't exactly easy. I mean, it's not hard, you know, in a way, but it's not easy. It takes a lot of studying and a lot of time. And so,
and you got to renew it every 2 years.
You got to renew it every 2 years. And it's just about as much studying every 2 years as it takes the first time. I mean, you get some of those, like those ideas in your mind, like what's elevation, what's all these rules, but at the same time, they're always throwing stupid curveballs at you that, you know, and I know a lot of drone photographers out there that just try, they kind of fly under the radar because they don't have the 107 and they don't want to deal with it.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, I think that's definitely a piece of it too, is, you know, again, you're licensed, you have a skill, there's insurance, there's all sorts of things involved. So know your value, find out what your market is, what you can, you know, charge. And some of it may be volume based too. So, I mean, you may be able to charge less because you're going out and doing multiple shoots in a day. And so, you know, you can get by with doing less. So again, this is kind of where I'm coming from on the drone piece. So,
well, I think that's great. And real quick, not to interrupt, you know, one of the things that I found, even when I've been out doing stuff with drone work, is that sometimes I won't take into consideration, or I have in the past not taken into consideration, what if my drone crashed and I've only charged this person $75 or something. You know, it's like, you know, when you think about like the cost of repair, even if you have business insurance, like you and I both do, like it makes sense to, you know, just factoring, keeping that in mind, because they're not fail safe entities. Sometimes these things go off and they whiz off and they keep you at
replacement. Well, that though, yeah. I mean, and that goes for any of what you're charging for any of your photography. Well,
it's everything.
There's equipment costs that go with it. And it's the computer, it's the camera, it's the hard drives and everything else. Yeah. That costs money, and you're going to have to replace them every couple of years. So keep that in mind as you're kind of planning and thinking about how much you're going to charge for stuff.
Perfect. All right. So drone.
So that was drone. I'm going to add one more thing to drone, and then that's going to tie in nicely to my next one. For real estate, straight real estate photography, MLS for a real estate agent, I do charge less because I just tack it on to a shoot that I'm already at. And again, it's a one-time license for just posting on MLS. Yep. So that's that. Okay. So then that's the drone. For on the ground real estate photography, in my market, where I'm at in my career, I don't leave the house for less than $200. And that is taking into account, you know, any mileage, all sorts of things. If I'm going to outsource some of the editing, I need to net $200 at the end of the shoot, essentially. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And so you said 200, correct?
Yeah. So 200 is kind of my baseline number on that.
Okay.
And again, where you're at in your career, what your market is, the size of the house is going to matter too. Obviously, the larger the house, the more photos you're going to take, and also the more that your real estate agent is going to make off of it, the more you should be charging. So, you know, that number can go up significantly from that kind of baseline of $200.
$200. Gotcha. Okay.
Real estate agents, for the most part, are reluctant to pay a lot. So I know a lot of people who do volume photography for less than that. Again, I'm doing more architectural photography and drone work now than I am real estate. I still am doing some. So I kind of have put that really pretty hard floor into my real estate photography.
Mm-hmm.
So then moving on to architectural photography. Now this one, there's a lot of different thoughts around it. And whether you do half day rate, full day rate, whether you split your creative fee from your editing fee, there's a lot of different ways to go about architectural photography. I know we had Barry McKenzie on a couple episodes ago, and he splits his editing fee and his creative fee. And the reason that he does that is because if they ask him to take a couple more shots on site, then he can charge more for editing because now there's more work to be done on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who do want to do half day or full day rates, which is what I do, I would recommend having maximum number of photos that you're willing to take for that price, and then saying anything extra will have an additional editing fee. So whether you say, okay, in a full day, I'm willing to shoot 15 photos. If we have time and, you know, there are more shots that you as the client want, you know, there is going to be this additional fee, associated with it. Other fees that you need to think about are if you're going to have an assistant, that might be something extra. Twilight, again, that might be extra. So there are definitely some varying things there to think about. For hotels as well, I usually do charge a little bit more for hotels just because of the amount of work that goes into it. So you're usually only able to do less shots than you would at maybe a standard architectural shop shoot.
Oh, okay.
So you're going to be there for longer, maybe longer days as well as more days. So usually for hotels, there's some wiggle room in terms of your pricing as well there, of kind of how you want to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where things are at. You know, the architecture photography thing too, you know, the pricing is really going to be based off of your name and what your market is in terms of what you can charge. Two things I would say: don't sell yourself short. Definitely make sure that you're charging enough, because if you're not charging enough, then your client's probably going to think that you don't have the experience.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But at the same time, you don't want to charge too much. I think it was Trent Bell was talking about this. I don't remember when, but I remember listening to it. And he was saying in his discussion was, come up with increments that you're comfortable with. If you're in real estate, maybe it's $50 or $100. If you're in architecture photography, maybe it's $250 or $500 increments. And just go from zero and start going up.
Okay.
And you're going to eventually get to, you know, maybe like 3,000, 5,000, whatever it is. And you're gonna be like, that's too much. Like, that's a ridiculous amount to charge. Okay. Well, what are kind of some of the middle numbers that you're like, okay, that seems pretty reasonable. And then just pick one, you know? So you're kind of going up in your increments, 500, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000, 2,500, and pick the ones that feel right to you, and pick one of the three that's kind of in that middle range that seems good but isn't too much. So I think that's maybe a good way for folks to kind of also plan and think about it.
Totally. You know, and that's something that we've talked about a lot when, you've said that to me before, and it's been good advice, you know, when it comes to certain client things that requests that I've had come through here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because you naturally, like you said, you don't want to charge too little, because then you're going to go to the shoot and be upset already before you get there and thinking, I'm getting, you know, kind of taken here. But then you also don't want to lose the job altogether. So it's kind of finding that middle ground.
Yeah. It's a balance, and balance. Every individual photographer needs to kind of find what that balance is, you know, what kind of works for them and what's going to work for their clients.
There we go.
All right. So I will push it over to you. And I think you're going to hit on some of the landscape stuff in terms of pricing.
Yeah. You know, yeah. So I figured, you know, I get people asking me all the time, how do you do what you do? How do you, you know, how do you like pay your bills, and how do you charge certain things for, you know, different aspects of the career or the craft? And I would say that, you know, so I wanted to just distill it down to talking more on prints, because, you know, as a landscape photographer, ideally what you're doing is you're hopefully selling your work. You know, other photographers, or another way to do it is to run workshops and take other photographers to locations. And so I just really thought I'd focus on those two, you know, prints and workshops, and kind of how I price myself and then my work and some thoughts on those. So, you know, hitting on prints first, there's the, you know, point one or part one, you know, there's the limited edition or, you know, numbered print series or not, you know, kind of just open editions.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of discussion and curiosity as to why certain photographers go certain ways. You know, I know photographers that go the artist proof way with then numbered series, you know, 250 prints of this image and that's it. And I tend to go a little more on the open editions, if you will, where it's just, I charge a little less, but I also don't have any limitations on to how many of those prints I can print in a lifetime. So, I mean, there's arguments in both ways. And one is that by not doing, you know, for those of you here listening and watching, thinking about like, what do you want to do? There is value add in doing a limited edition or series prints. For sure, you know, it makes you desirable and makes your work, you know, desired. But I mean, it's just all in what you want to do. There's certain photographers out there. And the thing is, at times, is there are certain photographers out there today that will do a limited edition and then they'll sell out and they realized it sold well. And then they'll change their like name of that series so then they can kind of get around it to then sell more of them.
And if someone bought the limited edition, then yeah, they'd be kind of a little frustrating.
Right. And I mean, you know, that's that there's one big photographer, like main most expensive selling landscape photographer, I'll only say that's kind of the discussion that's come up with their methods and practices, is they went and did just limited edition. And then now there's the bronze, the gold, the silver. And it's like, what's the point? And then that in ways kind of like on a whole, on a global for photographers wanting to do limited, kind of makes it, well, certain buyers will be like, I don't want to buy a limited edition because you could just switch the series name someday. And
so you don't do limited edition.
I do not. I just do open editions to where I, you know, a client reaches out and they say, hey, I love this photo, I'd love to get it printed. And then we just discuss from there how they want it printed, the size they want it printed, you know, mounting, all that. And then I work with them from the beginning to the end, and then that's on their wall. So that's what I do. And the way that I've figured out my pricing is I have truly just gone to the point of the starting off. There's one way of going, all right, three times your production cost. So whatever your lab charges you to produce that print for that client, then you go two to three times. You know, we've talked about this, Adam, you know, and it's like, where do you set that? And when do you kind of like, because three times can get really expensive if you're going to like a 72 inch long print by like 48 inches tall, like that can get really costly. So I find that, you know, as you go larger, bringing your pricing down a little bit per square inch can be really helpful to getting that end number that works well for the client.
Yeah.
So starting off, I just thought, okay, how can I figure out really what makes the most sense here? So starting off and doing like a two to three times your production cost, I think is a great point to start with, and going up from there if you even want to. Also knowing the value of your work, like how hard was it for you to get that shot? How much effort did you put in? And then the bigger thing is how good are you? And like in comparison, like, you know, just being honest with yourself and knowing that there are landscape gurus out there that are charging 70 cents an inch, like you might not want to charge $1 a square inch.
Yeah.
If you're starting out. So what I have done too, and why I've when I had the, you know, the college guy email me about a month ago, I just shared with him. I said, you know, go online, look at some of your peers, if you will, or people that you want to be as good as someday, because he's in college, so he's just asking a lot of questions. And so I was like, you know, go to their site, check out their prints page, and then look at like, what are they selling a 40 by 60 for? What are they selling a 48 by 72 for? And divide that to get their cost per square inch. And you can figure out how they're kind of running a formula on that. And you'll see that larger prints usually go down. Small prints are a higher price because there's more effort involved in printing a very small print at a lab. They're going to charge you more as well because man hours are all the same. So that's prints in a nutshell. Did I leave anything out there, do you think?
No, I mean, I think that's good. I think a lot of people kind of like wonder, well, how do I price my prints? So I think that's, you know, again, a good baseline for people to kind of think about on the landscape side of kind of a starting point of, okay, how can I kind of charge for my work?
Yes. So that's, I think, like, you know, in a nutshell, just there's not a lot of science behind. I mean, there doesn't have to be a ton. Essentially, it's just, if you go down the custom, you know, putting things together for clients on the custom route, you got to figure out the cost that's going to come down the pipe to you as the photographer from your lab and then build up from there.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to just put prints on your site to sell, talk to your lab, figure out what they're going to charge you, and then just work out a formula that's going to work out for you that is going to cover your shipping, all your, you know, tax, et cetera, and then just make it like a real simple, like click to buy kind of thing on your site.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good thing too. You know, make sure it's easy for the client to buy too. If you make it overly complicated.
Oh, just simple, you know, and like, honestly, a lot of my stuff is just like, I just kind of include tax and everything kind of into the print price. So it's not like all these things that get built onto it unless, you know, they're going massive and then I've got to like figure out how to get it to them.
I understand.
So the other one that, you know, the other aspect that we were going to talk about and I wanted to mention was and is workshops and how, you know, how I, and also, I don't know, I think a lot of landscape photographers price themselves in this. And again, there's, you know, there's always the, do I charge more? Do I build it all inclusive? Do I do all these things, you know, like truly plan everything out and including food and hotels and all that, and then just build a client. So they just have kind of like that all inclusive aspect, or do you want to go down the path of having it be a little more, just kind of charge you for your time and, or you charge them for your time and keep it a little simpler. But yet give them all the tools they need to arrive, to get their hotel, to do that sort of stuff. So, I've gone both directions with this in past, and there's a lot to be said for both, like value. What I will say though, is that the clients that you attract, if you charge $10,000 per person, also expect you to do a lot for that price tag. I have found that the clients that if you charge them $2,000 for your time and let them figure out the rest, which it's not just dumping them off, you know, and saying here, figure it out. They're generally the clients that are a little more along the lines of like really wanting to be there and willing to, you know, deal with bad weather, deal with things that typically, you know, that upper, that different demographic doesn't really want to participate in. That's been my experience. And that's kind of how I've done it. So I've found that I tend to like to charge just more for my time and then block out hotel rooms, do different things, and that will let them, you know, arrive to the location and the workshop on their own.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're charging for your time, but you are putting some structure around it. Like you said, you'll block hotel rooms and say, hey, here's where I recommend staying. I've blocked hotel rooms, you know, or in that kind of stuff. But do you then, so you're expecting them to get there yourself or themselves, I should say. You're blocking a hotel room for them, but then you're driving them around once they're there. So it's really just kind of getting to the point of the start of the workshop.
Exactly.
They have to take care of themselves.
Exactly. And, you know, and then I've found a lot of clients and a lot of people are participants, you know, they, if you say like, if you give them a 10,000, I'm just using as an arbitrary, but just as you give them a $10,000, like, you know, price, here's all this, they'll ask, what does that cover? And then you break it down. You're like, well, that's your meals. That's your accommodation. That's time, all this. Then you'll get people will say, well, I'm not necessarily going to eat. Like, I don't want to, you know, you start getting into those like, well, I don't like to eat this. I don't want to do that. And it just, so you're right. So I've gone more like, hey, you pay for your meals, you pay for your hotel, you know, because you might want to use hotel points, you know, or your Ramada points, or, you know, there's just so many elements involved that I think it's more of a value add in a lot of ways to just really give the client and the person the tools to do everything on their own and get there. And then, you know, you walk them, you basically hold their hand through that anyway, but they just are able to make their free choice.
Do it themselves. And then do you do like a hosted like dinner or like night, like editing stuff at night then too? So, I mean, there's more structure around it than just the photography. So
absolutely.
What I'm saying though is just from what's your time, you know, how much are you going to charge? There's a lot of components of your time that you need to think about.
It's all the, you know, like some photographers have editing sessions, some don't, you know, it's just, but that's another thing that you have to kind of take into consideration what you're charging and how long, like how many days are you doing this? And so it's always, you know, like I like to go and you know, the very first evening you get to, or afternoon, you get together, you settle in, you have dinner together, go out, you shoot, you come back, you do a sunrise session, you edit the next day, you sunset session, sunrise the next day, editing session. So like middle of the day is always built around editing. You know, it's tons of time, you know, out in the field together. And, you know, driving around people and also working together, like pre-COVID was perfect. You know, you spend a ton of time together like that. Now in this era that we're in, it's a little harder. So now it's been a little more of like, arrive to the location, you drive your own car, you know, we wear masks. There's a lot more
logistics around logistics, it.
And safety measures and like kind of protocol with that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Cool. So yeah. And it's really just kind of figuring out what your time is worth. And that's,
I think that goes to kind of all of the pricing. I mean, I talked about the drone, the architecture, the real estate, you know, what's you, at the end of the day, part of it is, again, what's your name brand worth, but what's your market area? You know, how much can you charge in your market? But then also it's like, what's your time worth? And that's why in the real estate, I put a bottom floor on what I'm willing to charge.
Right.
To go out and do it because my time isn't worth anything less than that. You know, again, on the architecture side of things, there's factors. There's the on-site, which is your creative. And then there's the editing. Do you want to bundle that as a day fee? Do you want to split those out? And how do you want to do that? So, you know, I think thinking about all of the things that go into the time of it is important because whether it's a workshop, architecture shoot, a hotel shoot, there's tons of preparation that's involved in that. And so that needs to be taken into consideration a little bit as well. So, I mean, if I'm charging $3,000 for an architecture for a 1 day shoot, well, I'm not making $3,000 a day because there was time leading up to it, the business development, the marketing, all of those things. Then there was the shooting and then there's the editing on the back end. So there's a lot to it. Plus, again, we talked about equipment with the drone a little bit too. So, I mean, there's so many different factors that go into what's your time worth and how much you should be charging for each individual job that you're doing.
Factory, you know, all those overhead costs, like your business insurance, to, you know, your car, your automobile, like your cell phone, like all that stuff, you know, kind of factors in.
Yeah. And that goes to something that I see a lot online and I don't like it. And I'll be interested to your take. People always say like, okay, well, how much do you want to make in a year? Is your profit want to be $25,000, $50,000, $100,000 a year? And then just divide by your estimated number of jobs, and then that's how much you should charge. I've never been a fan of that just because there's so many factors that go into how much money you can make and how much money you should be charging. It shouldn't just be like, well, I want to make $50,000 a year. I want to make $100,000 a year. And you just don't know what your volume is going to be. You could get, you know, you could have higher volume. You could be pricing yourself out of jobs because you're like, no, I'm only going to charge whatever, $2,000 for this product, and everyone's like, I'm not paying $2,000. Just right. You want to make $100,000 a year, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Or and whatever. That, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never gone about it that way, personally. I mean, there is something to be said about those individuals like that. I think that's really coming at it from like a purely business, like business mind approach, or not purely, but just with that in mind. Mm-hmm. I've never done that. It's always been just more of, you know, work hard to try to get jobs and then price yourself accordingly and fairly. And then, you know, and then as you get better, you know, you can charge more, kind of like how, you know, everyone evolves and we grow, you know. And then I don't know. I think it's just more of like a growth process rather than like an expected net, you know, or gross.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is you never know where you're going to be. I mean, when I first started out, I was making a lot less than I am now. Part of that is I've been able to charge more. Mm-hmm. Part of that is, you know, I have some good consistent clients that, you know, come back to me. But I think if I had just set out and said, I need to be making 50,000, 75,000, whatever the number is, I think you miss out on work because of that, because you have this set end number in mind.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can take you some time to get there. And so again, you might be missing volume, might be missing pricing. If that's going to work for you, I'm not saying don't do it. I just have some reservations about it, and I've never understood why someone would set their pricing based on that. I think there's so many other factors that can go into pricing that make more sense than that.
Right. Which naturally, I mean, I think like at the end of the day, having a goal of like, I want to make 100,000 this year isn't a bad thing, but it's just, I'd let that be more of like a motivator to acquire more clients, get better at your craft, you know, deliver better work, mm-hmm. You know, hustle, basically just hustle harder.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Cool. You know, we've talked about landscape photography. We talked about like architectural real estate photography, you know, there's portrait and wedding photography and all these other genres, you know, I mean, and their pricing is going to vary too. And it's a lot of, I think the things are going to be very similar. I mean, if you're a poor photographer, you know, family portraits, you know, you might have to start out charging $150, $250. And then as you get better, you might be able to charge $500, $750 for, you know, a 1 or 2 hour session and only deliver, you know, 5 to 10 photos. Yep. You know, on the wedding side, there's so many different prices based off of, you know, where your name is at. So I think, you know, again, all of this just kind of goes back to know where you are in your career. Don't undersell yourself and don't sell yourself short, but also don't oversell yourself either. So you have to kind of find that balance. And that's why, you know, again, I mentioned that Trent Bell kind of tier of, you know, set your increments of whatever, $50, $75, $100, $250, $500, and kind of see, okay, what makes sense? Where do you feel comfortable and kind of push that if you're really completely unsure?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think the last thing that I want to say is keep it simple. If you overcomplicate your rate sheet and your pricing, it's going to turn people off. You know, if you have your set rate and then if you have a couple add-ons, that's fine. But if you start getting into, you know, 5, 10, 15 different line items on an invoice or a proposal, mm-hmm. people are just going to put their hands up and say it like, I can't, it doesn't make sense. And I think that goes to a little bit what you were saying with the workshops, you know, you know, because people are like, well, what does this include? Yep. You know, it's like, set a price.
Yep.
Kind of keep it simple.
Just keep it simple. Yeah. Basically you just charge just the one thing and then, you know, just, I don't know. Yeah. Just keep it real simple.
Yeah. Again, I think if you start to get to like 5, 10 light items, that might just get confusing for people, whether you're, you know, a workshop where it's like, here's how much it costs to have me here. Here's how much, you know, your plane ticket is in the hotel. Like, no. Just keep it simple.
Well, cool, man. Was there anything else that you wanted to kind of touch on, or, you know, 'cause I think this has been a fun episode just talking about these different aspects and, you know, really important key points.
Yeah, I mean, I think have resources that you can leverage. I mean, that's part of building your network and building your community, because we talk about pricing all the time. Even though I think we both have set rates for stuff, there's always exceptions and different projects that come in. And so having someone that you can kind of bounce a price off of and say, hey, how does this sound, I think is good. Also, I think being a little bit flexible with your pricing is important. I mean, if you want to get a new client, it's okay to say, hey, this is a first time client discount. Yeah. If you're going to use me all the time, I'll give you a, you know, exclusive photographer.
Exactly.
Discount. There's lots of different ways that you can fluctuate and make some adjustments to your pricing to try and lure new clients in.
Yep.
Or keep clients,
and keep clients
while working with your pricing. And I think that does remind me though too, licensing can be such a big, good extra way to make money on the architectural side of things. So don't be afraid to license your photos to other people in the project. If you're hired by the architect, see if the general contractor and the end use client of that space wants the photos, and you can charge, you know, everybody less, and you end up making more money for delivering the same photos to three different clients. So think of creative ways that you can, you know, find ways to make extra money off of each individual shoot.
That's wisdom.
So we could have a whole episode on image licensing on the architectural side of things and how to price that out and kind of what some of the benefits are, and just throw up some numbers. I mean, so we could maybe do that at some point. But if you have questions about it, shoot us a note. We'll happily kind of talk you through kind of some of that image licensing and how it works, because that is a great extra way to reduce the cost to your clients.
Yeah.
But actually end up making a lot more money for doing no extra work.
No extra work.
Other than sending an email with the photos.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Cool. Ooh. Awesome. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. As always, you can find us on YouTube at InFocus Videocast. We are also on iTunes and Spotify, Stitcher, all of your favorite podcast locations. Go find us there. You can take us on the go. You don't want to see our faces, or you don't have time to listen to YouTube, but you're in your car. We are at InFocus Videocast there as well. Feel free to email us. We want your questions, comments, feedback to InFocusVideocast@gmail.com.
Yeah. And then for sure, you know, if hit the like button or, you know, reviews and all that.
Subscribe. Tell your friends. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely helps our ranking go up.
And we'd appreciate that.
So. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Cool, man. Well, always good to see you, Adam.
Yeah, likewise. And again, we're trying to crank these out here again in a little bit more regularity. So thanks for your patience. And Joe, always a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Dude, likewise. Good to see you. And thanks everybody for tuning in on this one, and looking forward to catching you next week.
Yep. Awesome. Thanks everyone. All right. Take care. Bye.